Thank you, Paige, and thanks everyone for joining our call. Since John F. Kennedy was president, Congress has annually passed the National Defense Authorization Act, or what we call the NDAA. President Biden's failed withdrawal from Afghanistan, his inability to deter Russia's invasion of Ukraine, his appeasement of the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism, and his ongoing struggles to clearly communicate America's commitments to our partners and face down the CCP threaten our national security. The need for a strong military and congressional oversight has greatly increased. As a combat veteran and a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, the annual defense bill is one of my major priorities each year. And today, I would like to outline several of my hard-fought efforts in this year's defense bill to protect our homeland and support our servicemen and women. Russia invaded Ukraine nearly 10 months ago, and since then we have seen incredible resilience from the Ukrainian people and their forces. Throughout this time, America has rightly been a supportive partner. I'm pleased to see our support continued in the NDAA through my provision authorizing the U.S. military to train Ukrainian forces on underwater demining operations. Training and arming the Ukrainian military keeps U.S. service members safe, supports a U.S. partner, degrades one of our most vicious foes, and preserves American safety and prosperity. My specific legislative effort will help Ukraine's military demine the Black Sea, which is currently riddled with Russian mines, causing great disruption in grain exports. Reclaiming the Black Sea would be a major step forward for Ukraine's sovereignty, allowing them to resume trade from their most important port. Simply put, demining Ukraine's ports is key to Ukrainian victory and restoring stability in the global economy. As I mentioned earlier, President Biden has consistently chosen to appease rather than maintain pressure on the world's leading state sponsors of terrorism. Iran's radical Islamists and Putin's Russia have benefited from his failed pursuit of the Obama-era nuclear deal, while security of our partners and our service members overseas has suffered. Earlier this year, myself and the other Abraham Accords Caucus co-chairs put forward bipartisan, bicameral legislation to unite our Middle East partners in their fight against Iran. The DEFEND Act would require the Pentagon to work with our partners in the region to develop an integrated air and missile defense system to take on the threat posed by Iran and its violent extremist proxies. With the bipartisan and bicameral nature of this measure, I was optimistic it would be included in this year's NDAA, and I'm very proud to report it is. This is an important step in reversing the consequences of Biden's failed doctrine of appeasement. In order to combat our enemies and meet our modern-day defense needs, we must curb our energy reliance on foreign adversaries and nations of concern, like Iran, Russia, and China. An America that is marshaling its own resources is resilient against its enemies. Take critical minerals, for example. Right now, we are sourcing a concerning amount of raw materials from supply chains controlled by Russia and China. That's why I've pushed to include in this defense bill my effort to rebuild the national defense stockpile by procuring critical minerals for our weapon systems from U.S. and allied sources. Far too many of these materials come from mines controlled by the CCP. Even minerals mined in the United States rely on refinement, you guessed it, in China. We cannot continue sourcing anything from a supply chain that moves through our adversaries, which includes electric vehicles. Previously, the Biden Pentagon was pushing a deranged climate agenda to switch the military's non-tactical vehicles to an all-electric fleet, a fleet that would be sourced on the backs of child and slave labor. Folks, no piece of equipment in the United States military should ever be mined or assembled by forced labor, period. That's why in this NDAA, I blocked the Pentagon from moving forward with their previous goal until they certify that these electric vehicles are not procured or sourced by child or slave labor. An annual defense bill would not be complete without key supports for our brave men and women in uniform. I'm proud to say that this year's bill provides our troops with a well-deserved pay raise and a number of improved benefits. This includes my effort to standardize how all branches of the military treat and diagnose traumatic brain injuries and PTS. We know the wounds of war can be both visible and invisible. We have an important charge to care for those who wear the scars of their sacrifice, and I'm hopeful this measure will allow the Pentagon to better support our heroes. Additionally, after much urging on my part and of my colleagues in the House and Senate, this year's NDAA stripped the Biden administration's COVID-19 vaccine mandate, which has previously caused 8,000 service members to be discharged. With record low recruitment across all service branches, shrinking the number of service members puts our national security at risk. This was the right move for our military readiness. Folks, we are on track to pass a bipartisan and bicameral defense bill for the 62nd year in a row. While Congress can be divided on so many issues, it has been pretty incredible to see a united front when it comes to ensuring the United States military remains the most lethal fighting force